You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English. Who is the new Premier League leader as of now? Is Mohamed Salah thriving under the new Liverpool manager Arne Slot? Who scored 4 goals and became an unquestionable hero of the week? And how are the prepositions like for, of, from, and at usually pronounced in conversation? Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the Footglish podcast. What's Footglish podcast? I hear you asking. Well, the Footglish podcast is a podcast about football and it is for English learners. So anyone that is learning English and is interested in football, this is a podcast for you. And today I am joined by Vojta, who has his own FPL channel. Welcome to the podcast, Vojta.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me. Hopefully, I'll try my best with my English, but hopefully it's not going to be so bad.
Honestly, all it took was 10 seconds, and I know that you are an excellent guest for this podcast. And also, for another reason, not just because you have a very, very decent English, but you actually have your own YouTube channel about the Fantasy Premier League. Would you mind telling us something about it?
Yes, sure. It's in Czech, but I'm just playing Fantasy Premier League and the Czech League Fantasy. Mm-hmm. And I have the channel like 2 years, I think, or something over 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it's been interesting. And I just try to talk about my team, about my transfers, captains, and so on. And people watch me, at least some people, and
I do too. That's how I discovered you, because I don't think there are that many people from the Czech Republic who have a channel like that in Czech. So I think you made the right decision to start a channel like that because it's really popular in the UK.
Yeah. In UK, there are a lot of like big accounts and big YouTube accounts. So exactly. This is something new in Czech, because I know that it's a popular game, but in Czech Republic it's not so much popular as in UK or like in other countries in Europe, for example, like Norway and something like that.
Exactly, and that's why you come in, because you are here to popularize this fantastic game. Although I don't think you are there. Employee, you are not employed by them, right?
No, definitely not.
You just do it for fun.
Exactly, in my spare time.
Perfect. Okay, and you're here today to talk about the Premier League, and we can see, if you're watching this, ladies and gentlemen, on YouTube, because you can either listen to this podcast on any podcasting device, whatever it is, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it. Or it can also be found on my YouTube channel, the Teachers Danek YouTube channel. So if you're there, then you will probably see Vojta, what he looks like and what he has on him. He's wearing an LCF shirt. Yeah, Liverpool FC is your team then.
Yes, that's my team. It's kind of an older kit. I think it's from 2014-15 season. But it's still... Kind of looks nice.
LFC, Liverpool FC. Well, I think I invited you exactly at the right time, because isn't it the first game week that you are actually top of the league, that you managed to get past Manchester City and Arsenal and you're top of the league?
Yes, kind of surprising to me, but we had some not that difficult games at the start. So that definitely helps when you have a new manager. Mm-hmm. The start is good. I mean, the last game wasn't that good, but we still won and 3 points. So that's all that matters.
Exactly. Well, this is Premier League, and there are no difficult, as we can see, but we can use a cliche. There are no easy opponents in the Premier League anyway. So you might have had an easier run-in at the beginning of the season. But you know what? Sometimes it's about all about momentum. Yeah. And if you, let's say, if you had started the season with a few bad results, you know, it might have had some impact on the rest of the season. So I wouldn't worry about the fact that you played some easier opponents. So this weekend it was Wolverhampton, right? Was it a home game?
Away.
It was an away game. I have to admit, I did not see this game, even though I invited you to talk about it. But perhaps that's why I have you here. You can tell me more about it. So I can see it's a 2-1 win. How did you see the game then?
Well, the first half was actually quite boring. There was like nothing going on. Maybe was there even like a better side. And but then we had like a big chance we missed, Szoboszlai. Okay. And then at the end of the first half, we scored from a corner kick. So that was really helpful. But until then, I think there wasn't like really big chances, but they had more ball, I think. And it was, yeah, quite boring. The second half was a little bit better, but still the performance from Liverpool not that good. We've seen this season much, much better, but we conceded I think the second goal we conceded this season, but it was like a stupid mistake from Konate plus Alisson, free goal for them. Mm-hmm. Until then, they didn't have like a big chance. So that was 1-1, but then we got the goal from the penalty spot. So
Mohamed Salah.
Yeah. Again, of course.
As always. He is still your penalty taker. How long has he been the main penalty taker? Maybe for 5 years, 6 years?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. I think when he came in, maybe the first season, I don't remember. Maybe there was someone else, but the season after, I think he started. Yeah.
And occasionally he does miss an odd penalty, doesn't he?
Yeah. Sometimes. But I think he's one of them that he changes his, sometimes he goes in the middle. He goes actually in the middle a lot. But the goalkeepers never stay on the line in the middle. So that's good for
them.
That's
weird. They should learn it by now. If he keeps it there most of the time. Maybe they need one of those cheat sheets. You know how we see these days, occasionally during maybe European Cups or important games, we see a goalkeeper with a cheat sheet of the penalty, potential penalty takers. Perhaps they should start doing that. They should stick it on their bottle and have it ready in front of their goal.
Yeah, I know he still changes it a lot. And I remember some interview with Ben Foster. He's like the retired goalkeeper. And in the match against Watford, there weren't any penalty. But after the game, Salah went to the goalkeeper of Watford and he was asking, if I had a penalty, where would you dive? So he just wants to know, for cases like that.
These are all mind games and... It's part of football, of course. Well, I have to say, these kind of games against teams that are bottom of the league, actually, which we have to say, Wolverhampton Wanderers are bottom of the league. I think they are on 1 point only.
But they had like the hardest fixtures at the start I've ever seen. Yeah. And it continues like until game week 9 or something like that. But they're actually a good side. They're a little bit unpredictable because they can beat anyone. But still, then they lose to Chelsea 6-2 or whatever. But they're a good side, actually, I think.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a point that these games are often a trap because everyone expects you to just put, I don't know, 5-6 goals past them, especially in this context of the Fantasy Premier League, right? And it doesn't always work out that way. So I think, for example, as a Liverpool fan, you must be happy for 3 points, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I was quite worried that one goal we can concede and then it will be hard to score because no one was actually like on fire from the attacking players. Mm-hmm. And Jota was actually a little bit better than in previous matches, but it was like no one was like really, really good in that game.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and your new manager, Arne Slot, a tough position to be in my opinion, to replace someone who has been so important for you and who has changed the club upside down, Jurgen Klopp. And as we know, he decided to retire last season. And it's a tough act to follow, as we say in English. And I heard a lot of people, a lot of experts, a lot of pundits actually predicting a tough season for him and for Liverpool and for Liverpool fans. And they were almost saying something like, brace yourselves for a bad season. Another Erik ten Hag is coming. But you know what? He's doing a good job, isn't he?
Yeah. Especially when we actually didn't buy anyone. So was like weird that he didn't bring someone, for example, from Feyenoord or something like that. So I was actually a little bit afraid as well. But after like 1-3 games and then some interviews with him, I'm already in love with him.
What do you mean? You mean in terms of football and his tactics and not anything else? Okay, just want to make sure.
Yeah.
This is and clear.
He's so good at interviews and how he sees the game and how he can explain what he can see from the opponents, for example.
Great.
After the match with Manchester United, he just had an interview, I think it was with Sky Sports or something like that. And in like 3 minutes, he analyzed the whole game and how they won. And it was like, when I see Ten Hag,
I wanted to say that there's almost like a stereotype that Dutch managers are cold or uncharismatic, and I think Erik ten Hag is to blame for that. But also there was Louis van Gaal, and these managers, you know, they didn't exactly have the best reputation in the Premier League, and part of the problem was like sort of their personality in TV, which should not be, or on TV, which should not be the most important thing, of course, right? It should be about how good you are as a manager. But these days, because of marketing, social media, and it's just that the world is a bit different nowadays, and you kind of need to be able to handle press conferences and post-match interviews and all that. And so it's nice to see a manager from the Netherlands who's breaking the stereotype, you know, breaking the mold.
But you can still see that he's Dutch because he's, for example, I don't know, after the first match, he just substituted Quanzach, center back, after the first half. And he was just at the press conference, he didn't win enough duels. I subbed him off.
It's kind of similar to the German attitude, the German mindset. They're just honest, very honest. And I think the main gap, the main issue is that the English language, right? As an English teacher, I know this very well. It's a kind of language where being indirect is a virtue. It's one of the values, the core values of the British culture. And for the Brits, sometimes the way Germans and the Dutch speak, it's just too direct and almost as if rude or something, cold. So that's where this discrepancy comes from, basically.
So he's like that, but for now it works, and hopefully that's not gonna change.
Well, isn't it always about results ultimately?
Yeah, it is. Mm. For now the results are good, so everyone's happy. Yeah. So
even you.
Yeah, for now.
Well, including you. I also wanted to ask you about Mohamed Salah, because correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed that the last few years, first of all, he had been let's say it in the English way, he had not been getting any better.
Okay.
And also it seemed like there were a few, let's say, conflicts with the manager, with Jurgen Klopp. So would you say that for him, it's to have a new manager like that is actually a breath of fresh air?
Yeah, it might be, but also with Klopp, why he was like mad at him, it was because he substituted him, and he's just used to play 90 minutes all games, and now Slot actually is doing the same. He's just playing 90 minutes, so
he knows.
It might happen that if he subs in some match, that it might happen again, because he just wants to play even when he doesn't play very well every match.
Yeah, exactly. And then he's not very, basically, he's not able to be very objective, right? He's too emotional about these things. And sometimes you have to make a tough decision, a tough call as a manager, but also you don't want to upset this player, right? And could it be that this is what Arne Slot is getting better than Erik ten Hag, his, you could say, predecessor, or that doesn't sound right. The original Dutch manager, there was Ralf Rangnick before him, right? Ralf Rangnick, and before that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So not really good years for United. Actually, we could say that after Ferguson's era, it all went downhill, right? We could say single manager. So I think it's a bit of malaise there at that club, and with the fans, you know, they always have high expectations, and so many fans around the world. And there was a moment, right? I don't know if it was last year, perhaps 2 years ago, where basically Cristiano Ronaldo came back to the club, and it was an important moment. And the first season he was all right, but knowing Cristiano Ronaldo, it's often about himself, just about himself. He's kind of a selfish player with a lot of goals and a lot of respect around the world, but not always a team player, right? And then the response that Erik ten Hag gave him, or the treatment he gave him, was that he slowly but surely he sidelined him. He got him out of the team, right? So perhaps we could see some sort of parallel, because no offense, but Salah is also getting on a bit. So how do you see this comparison? Is it fair, or?
Yeah, but Salah is still getting goals, and I still can imagine, like, without Salah. Kiesa actually was the only transfer in, and I don't know if he's ready, but Salah, we saw it in this match. He doesn't play well, and then he decides the game, and he just scores. I know it was a penalty, but even in other games, he just scores goals, and that's what's the best about him. Even when he's like not that good in the game, it's all about goals, and he scores them.
Exactly. So I think we've dealt with this game, Wolves Liverpool. Let me just quickly go through all the results. So this was the first game of the weekend. Wolves 1, Liverpool 2. Then Nottingham Forest 0, Fulham 1. Everton 2, Crystal Palace 1. Chelsea 4, Brighton 2. Brentford 1, West Ham 1. Arsenal, my team, beat Leicester City 4-2. And then Newcastle, Man City 1-1. This was the first game of the weekend. Wolves-Liverpool was the last game of Saturday. I got it wrong. And then on Sunday, we had two games. Ipswich 2, Aston Villa 2, and finally Manchester United 0, Spurs 3. And I think today we've got one more game, which will start in about four minutes, and that's Bournemouth against Southampton.
I think it's 1 hour and 4 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably looking at the wrong time as well. There's time difference, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, that's a thing. Right. So did any of these results actually surprise you? Would you say any of them stands out?
I think there were some interesting results. For example, Newcastle City, of course, 2 points lost by City.
Yep.
And we can see now already first game without Rodri, who just got injured for the whole season, and they just lost.
That's a narrative. That was a narrative last season as well, wasn't it? When he got injured for a few games, suddenly their win rate went down, and now it's happening again. It looks like.
Yeah, but at the start of the season, he wasn't ready and they still won. So I think they will still keep winning, but it will definitely be harder. And I don't think they're going to win the league.
Yeah, yeah. I think now is the time to place a bet on yeah, Liverpool or Arsenal winning the league. I agree with you. There's a chance for us.
Yeah, exactly. Even I believe a little bit... Arsenal a little bit more, but we're still in the game. Just one game after one game, and if we keep winning, we can be there.
Absolutely, I think it's too early to predict, and it comes down to injuries at the end of the day. We should also remind our listeners that it's not just this player that is injured. It's not just Rodri. There are other injuries at Manchester City at the moment. Oscar Bob, I think, broke his leg or something. Then we have Eric Ten Hag. De Bruyne, Kevin De Bruyne is out, right? And those are really important players. The same issue at Arsenal. You have Odegaard, you know, the playmaker. Not easy times. And I think if a few important players are out, then it can really sort of shuffle the deck, you know, not shuffle the deck, but it can make a huge difference for the league.
Yeah. And Arsenal was quite fortunate last season because like no one got injured for like more than two games from the important players like Saliba, Gabriel, Odegaard, Rice, and so on. So this is new for them. Starting with Odegaard, we will see if something happens to like one of the center backs, that would be devastated as well.
Exactly. That's a good word to use. Saliba, Gabriel are on fire right now. Yeah. So for me, another surprising result is, I would say, Manchester United, Tottenham, 0-3. Okay, I may have expected Tottenham to get something out of this game, but to lose for United in such a way, I think it's a real blow. And also they lost Bruno Fernandes. He got a red card in that game. Did you see what happened?
Yes, I did see it. And I don't think that was a red card. It was.
He slipped, didn't he?
Yeah, it was pretty harsh. I know that it doesn't matter if he slips or not, but he still didn't hit him like directly. Yeah. It was, I don't think that's a red card. Mm-hmm. But still... Until the red card, Tottenham like could have already been winning like 3-0.
That's right. That's right. They deserve to win, even if we don't take this red card into account. That's true. Yeah, it certainly doesn't help the team. Doesn't help the mood. And how long have we been hearing this? Ten Hag out for a long, long time. Nothing is happening though.
No, nothing is happening. And it's always trust the process, and I want the trophies, and so on.
But, cliches.
Yeah, exactly. If I was a United fan, I would be like already over a year just calling him to leave. But
yeah, it would be hard, protesting at the Wenceslas Square or something like that. Which is a famous Czech square in Prague. If you don't know, listeners. Okay, and I've got this segment on this show called Hero of the Week, and it's followed by the Villain of the Week. And I don't know how about you, but I think it's pretty clear who the Hero of the Week this weekend is. There's a player who scored 4 goals. Would you have him as your Hero of the Week, or is there anyone else?
Yeah, probably. For me, it might actually be the Villain because I don't have him in my fantasy team. So so that's why. But yeah, of course, he's amazing. And Brighton, they didn't defend very well, but still something he does, you can't even defend. So yeah.
4 goals in the first half. It hadn't happened before. It's the first time ever. And I remember him scoring 4 goals before. So like, you know what? I have to admit, I played my wild card before this game in the FPL, and it is by far my worst week. It's the irony of it all. It's not just because of Palmer. Everyone else did so badly. Everyone else that I got into my new team did so poorly.
Yeah, me too. I also used my wild card and I got like 33 points for now. I still have two players playing.
That's
today.
Even worse than me.
Yeah. I'm hoping like Semenyo and Tavernier can do something in an hour. But
Semenyo, It seems like we have exactly the same fantasy team. Let me see. So this is the Footgrish Podcast League for those of you that are watching us. And currently I'm on 35 points. I thought I had more. Look at this, yeah. So it's like a template lineup. And the only three players that did something for me were Rodgers, Saka, and Mbeumo. And the only reason Saka did something is because I captained him. It was such a disaster, this round for me.
Yeah. And for example, and for template like players, it was like a big disaster because like 30 points and nothing else. Because Palmer wasn't like the template pick because they had like two good games now, but then they have like hard games. And Saka was the obvious call to have Saka because they have like so Leicester home, Southampton home.
Exactly.
But yeah. Saka he had was like on three big chances created, or four, something like that, but no points.
He was on three bonus points, and they were about to give him that assist for that Trossard's winner goal, but then they took it off him, and that, you know, that was a disaster. As you can see, I also bought Nicholas Jackson. Maybe that was an unexpected pick. That was my differential, as they call it. Unfortunately, Solanke is on bench, so if Semenyo plays, I don't get points from him.
Yeah, I put Rodgers on the bench, so it's the same.
Yeah, yes, so maybe even worse, because Rodgers has one more point.
Yeah.
So if any of you are interested in joining the Footglish Podcast Mini League, as you can see, we have 18 teams here. Feel free to join, including you, Vojta. You're also welcome to join.
Yeah, I'm going to join.
Have you got your own league as well for your YouTube channel?
Not really. I had it before, but then we decided like a lot of, like, I don't know what to say, influencers in FPL world, but for example, Calcio Podcast, then FPL CZ Twitter account, and some of us just got together and created one big league, Czech league.
I see.
There are like two leagues. The first one has like top 50, and you play against each other every round, different opponent.
Yeah.
So it's the H2H style. Mm-hmm. And then there is like the second league, and you can qualify for this top 50. So every year, top 10 goes to the top 50. And there are like us, then there are like people from Canal Plus Sport and some like famous people who plays.
I think the great thing about this mini league is that all the viewers and listeners can join us. So, of course, there will be a link in the description of this episode. And there will also be a link to your channel, Vojta, which is Vojta FPL. If there are any listeners from the Czech Republic, then you can join us and you can join Vojta's channel. You can subscribe and get some insight about the Fantasy Premier League as well.
Yeah, but currently I am like 3.5 million over rank. So maybe it's not that good to listen to me, but I'm going to get it back, I promise.
It's like one of those when there is dietary advisor who is overweight, right? And giving you advice about diet, about a healthy diet. So you are a Fantasy Premier League expert who is not doing very well right now.
Yeah. You can say
that can all change because the season is long, right? And it's about consistency after all.
Yeah. And that's it's not actually good to look at the ranks in the first weeks because there are a lot of like accounts who uses their chips at the start and triple captains and so
like
on.
Me.
Yeah. And yeah, but it's still a little bit better to be at least 1 million or something like that, mm-hmm. not 3.5.
Okay. Well, we started talking about the heroes of the week. So I think Palmer, I'm giving it to Palmer. I think it looks like so are you. And what about our villains of the week?
Ooh, villains. That should be someone from Aston Villa then, right? I don't know. There are a lot of villains, I would say.
Every team has a villain. Every single referee is a villain, as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Bar, you can always, you know, choose the video assistant referee. It's an easy pick as well.
Yeah. I would say it's. I think you can say like there is not like a big villain of the round, but you can say like a villain for every match or something like that. So I don't know, Gündoğan for the City game, because I think that was like his worst performance I've ever seen.
It's a great pick, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know he was unlucky, Bruno Fernandes, but his first red card.
Yeah.
I could also pick someone from West Ham because they have been atrocious this season. These are disastrous. So, for example, Paqueta is just out of form.
Yeah. And they still got a point from Brentford, so that's something, I guess. Soucek for this to save them again.
Yeah, Soucek scored his second goal of the season. So, yeah, and you know what? He has been getting so much stick from the fans. It's unbelievable because I've been subscribed to the West Ham United fan channels on YouTube quite a lot. I've been watching it. I'm interested in what they have to say about our Czech captain of the Czech national team, and it's been going downhill with him and the support he has been getting. But now every time he scores, suddenly they just love him again. Like they are so fickle, the fans.
Yeah, it's
all it takes
down.
Is just one goal, and they are like, oh, he has to play, and then he doesn't score for one or two games, and he has to be out of the team. You know, so simple with the fans sometimes.
Yeah, I think they're just groups, and when he plays bad, one of the groups is louder. When he plays well, the second group is louder. I think
you're
like
right.
That.
Okay, so shall we just quickly take a look at the table, at the Premier League table? Because that's, I think, something you really want to see, isn't it? I think, to enjoy the moment. Enjoy it while it lasts, Wojta. May not be forever.
Yeah, but
Liverpool on 15 points, top of the league. Five wins, one defeat. 10-plus goal difference. I think you have the best goal difference of all teams as well. And followed by Manchester City on 14 points. Arsenal also 14 points. And Chelsea doing really well in top four, in the fourth place with 13 points. Then Aston Villa, 13 points. Fulham, Newcastle. In the other European spots, Tottenham Hotspur on 10. And bottom of the league, we've got three players in the relegation zone: Crystal Palace, Southampton, and Wolves. Anything that surprises you, looking at this table?
Oh well, United are 12. That's I would expect it to be like 15th, but okay.
No,
just joking. Of course, Wolves is surprising because they're just a good team, and they will start winning, I think. Hard fixtures. And they, for example, they should have won against Newcastle. They were a better team. And then that just conceded two stupid goals.
That's
like
right.
Wonder goals from behind the box. So, yeah, but surprising. I don't know. I didn't expect Chelsea to click like this quickly.
Yeah. They're doing a great job there under Maresca, right?
Yeah. And for with the, all the transfers, everyone's laughing at them that they have like 500 players or so on.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just clicked, and there are a lot of like, young guys, and they just enjoy the football and scoring goals, I guess. And
that's right.
The bench is like so much quality, like João Felix, Pedro Neto, Kunku. It's like, yeah. So Chelsea is surprising to me.
Okay, wonderful, Vojta. Yeah, so another week ahead of us. I mean, it's so much football these days. The European competitions as well, the Champions League, the Europa League, the Conference League, then another round of the Premier League. Honestly, it's madness.
It never stops. Then there's international break, so that's...
Less fun.
Exactly.
not on this podcast. We don't stop on this podcast either. I talk about that as well. We talk about everything we can here. But it's been fantastic to have you on the podcast, Vojta FPL, if I may call you that.
Yeah, sure.
And enjoy the moment where Liverpool are basking in the on the first place, on the first spot, like that.
Oh yeah, I will. Hopefully it's not gonna change quickly. Hopefully we keep going, and we will see. Like in 2 weeks, we play Chelsea. I think that's gonna be first hard game of the season. So that's gonna be interesting, and hopefully we just keep winning. We'll see.
Good luck.
Thank you for inviting me.
It was a pleasure, Vojta. Your English is great, by the way. Thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, I still like find the words, but I can like understand perfectly. But finding
don't
the
words, all.
And I don't all. Look every day, so it's.
I mean,
yeah, it's hard.
I think that's understandable. We are not native speakers, so I mean, the most important thing is that we are able to communicate. And that's what I'm helping my students to do as well. I'm helping them with communication, you know, confidence and expanding their vocabulary. And that's all it matters, in my opinion. A little bit of pronunciation, you know. Yeah. Okay, Vojta, thank you very much for featuring on this week's Footglish podcast about the Premier League. And all the best to you and your channel.
You too. Thank you.
Take care. Cheers. Welcome back to the Language Corner. As always, in this part of the show, I'm going to teach you something. And the first thing I have to say is that I'm actually in a good mood. And that's because I've just come back from a run. I went jogging after about a 20-day break. That's right. Because about 20 days ago, they extracted one of my teeth, you know, one of those wisdom teeth. And I had been suffering ever since until about yesterday. And honestly, it was such a relief, such a massive relief that I was able to do some sports after so long. You know, for someone who doesn't play football anymore and who used to run on a regular basis, this is almost like a drug. And if you don't do it for such a long time, it's making you go a bit crazy. So honestly, I'm so happy that I can do sports again. It's a great feeling. But this is completely irrelevant to the language corner. So why did I start talking about that? I don't know. I thought I might as well share something from my private life. After so long, I think I did that in the very first episode of the Footglish podcast, but usually we just talk football here. And let's have a look at some pronunciation as well. You know, prepositions, right? Prepositions are words like of, at, on, in, a very integral part of the English language, very important part, right? But did you know that most of the English learners actually mispronounce prepositions? In what way? Well, they usually pronounce them too much. They put too much emphasis on them. And that's because when you learn these little words separately, right, when you word them as separate words, they are pronounced in what we call a strong form, at, on, in, of. However, when you use these, or when we should say, when the native speakers use these little words in sentences, in a fast-flowing conversation, they're actually pronounced much faster. Of, at, an, like that, with the sound, which is in English called the schwa sound. I'm going to give you a few examples. We were talking about Mohamed Salah, and for him, having a new manager was like a breath of fresh air. This is what I said. I said, for him, having a new manager was like a breath of fresh air. So instead of saying breath of fresh air, you're going to sound more fluent and more natural if you say a breath of fresh air, like that. Right. Another one. This is what Wojta said, I think. It's not good to look at the ranks at, in the first week. Right, Wojta said that. So it's not good to look at the ranks in the first week. And again, you can say it's not look to look at the ranks. It's not look to look at the ranks in the first week. Even in, you can say in the first week, right? Another one. You are not their employee. You do it for fun. I said that. You're not their employee. You do it for fun. I said to Wojta. It was supposed to be a little joke. I said that Wojta doesn't work for FBL. That was the idea of the joke. It wasn't really a funny joke, was it? You know, not all jokes can be funny. For fun, right? So rather than say for fun, you can say for fun. And here is the last example. At the end of the first half, we scored from a corner kick. At the end of the first half, not at the end, but at the end of the first half, of, not of, at the end of the first half, we scored from, not from, we scored from a corner kick. This is going to make you sound more fluent, more natural, if you're able to use these little prepositions in their weak forms. If you're able to pronounce them in their weak forms, rather. Okay? Are there any cases when we pronounce these prepositions in their strong forms? Yes, there are. But that's not what this podcast is about. I don't want to overwhelm you. I think this is more than enough for today. I would like to remind you that there is a way you can support the Footglish podcast if you want to do so. It's on my Hero Hero. Right now, there are no benefits to doing that. I want to introduce that in the future. But for that, I first need to build a larger audience. So if you think that these episodes are worth listening to and you really like the content, why not support me on my Hero Hero? The link is in the description of this episode. Anyway, I've been Zdenek. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll speak to you again soon. Cheers. Bye for now.